Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This evening,
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This evening, our guest is Gloria Cobrin. She is the author of a cookbook application for the iPhone and the iPod. It has over 300 gourmet recipes, and it has menu planning by the day of the week, shopping planning, and so forth. Our guest is here right now.
Hi, Chaim.
Good evening, Gloria. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad we made a connection here.
Yeah. So, let me ask one question.
Sure.
You say, from speaking to you, you told me that you've been cooking for over 40 years.
Yes.
Very nice. But one thing is to cook over 40 years, another thing is to be a gourmet cook. How did you get to gourmet cooking? Obviously, you must have had a passion for it. When did you first notice that this is what you want to do?
When I was a very young child, and I mean really very young, single digits, I loved to spend time in the kitchen. I just had a predisposition, I suppose, to spending time in the kitchen. And I just love being around food. My parents went out a great deal, and they took us out to excellent restaurants. We traveled, and I just always enjoyed preparing food. I liked the smell of it, the taste of it, the feel of it. I just enjoyed the artistic part of it and having company and enjoying watching the company enjoy my food. So it's something I always did.
Very interesting, but yet your background is not that of a chef.
No, no.
Tell me a little bit about your background and then how you mesh the two things together.
Oh, I don't know if they mesh. My background is I have a bachelor's in French from NYU. I was a bilingual receptionist. I was actually an EMT, and I worked in doctor's offices. I've done mediation. I've done all kinds of things, but through it all, I always cooked. I had a baking business that I had from my apartment. I wrote a column for the Jewish Week, the kosher gourmet column, in the 70s before my daughter was born. A friend and I actually started that column. I taught cooking classes for Yeshiva University. I'm just self-taught, and a lot with the enormous help of Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child.
Julia Child.
Whose 100th birthday the world is celebrating today.
Right.
Her recipes are just magnificent and easy to follow, and a lot of reading, a lot of practicing, a lot of transposing the non-kosher to the kosher, and there we go.
Surely there must have been, however, an experiment or two that did not quite work out the way you wanted to, right?
Many, and I think you have to learn to develop a sense of humor about these experiments. There was a lemon meringue pie I made that we ate with a spoon. There were,
ouch.
You know, souffle. Yes, ouch. And everybody sort of laughed, but it actually tasted very good. The taste of the lemon was very good. Just, you know, since then it hasn't happened, but it did happen. I remember making strawberry tarts for when I was in the baking business for a sisterhood, and I made the tart, and I made the pastry cream, and I put these magnificent strawberries. I had it in the refrigerator waiting for me to deliver them, and when I took them out, the strawberries had released all of their liquid, all of their moisture, and the tarts had completely fallen apart.
Of course.
I don't exactly know what happened. Maybe they were hormonally treated. I'm sure I didn't buy organic at that time. And I had to start from the beginning. It wasn't funny.
Ouch.
The thing. Ouch.
Did you manage to deliver on time, though?
Absolutely. You just scramble. I'm good at scrambling. You know, I've thrown plenty of things in the garbage, or I have transposed what was supposed to be a cake into a crumble or a crisp. And, you know, you sort of just learn to go with it. Nothing is a tragedy. It just becomes possibly something else. So that's my philosophy. Make the best of it. Nobody knows.
Right.
Like Julia used to say, nobody knows what goes in the what's going on in the kitchen. If you don't tell them, they won't know.
Right. Now, you seem to be very passionate about cooking. It's quite obvious from the way your voice sounds as you speak about it. But let me ask you, is there anything else besides cooking, like your community activities and so on and so forth, that you're also passionate about? And explain a little bit about your community activities.
I became a mediator with a group that was at that time called Safe Horizon. Mediators go through extensive training, and then you're videotaped and you're tested, and I'm able to mediate in the court system and in the community centers, and I took an additional training to be able to do family and divorce mediation. I actually restricted that kind of mediation to custody, or what's the nicer word for it is parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really only interested in how the children are affected and let the grown-up take care of themselves. But it's really the children who suffer the most in these things. And I loved it. I mean, I haven't done much of it in the last few months. I've had other family responsibilities. But it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to sit in a room with people who haven't spoken to each other, and they don't even know what their problems really are. And then you create a safe, neutral space for them, and they're able to speak. And they are all nationalities. And sometimes they work with interpreters. Other times everybody speaks English. And if you're lucky, at the end, you've been able to sort of broker an understanding between them. Mediation isn't binding, so it's not like arbitration
right.
Or what you say goes. So mediation is just sort of they agree, or they agree to try to have – most of these things come down to respect. All kinds of neighbor issues and noise issues and whatever. And most often I found it comes down to respect, and they each feel disrespected. And when you're fortunate and they leave smiling and they feel like they now have the ability to speak to each other, it's a good day.
That
so I really
means
felt
that
like I was doing something positive. Yeah,
right.
I like one-on-one volunteer work. That's, I guess, why I became an EMT and why I did this. I don't enjoy, you know, planning events and whatever, as important as that is, and it is very important. But I like being with the people that I'm actually trying to help. I like seeing their faces. I just like being with people, which also, I guess, coordinates with the cooking. I have a lot of company in my house, and the more the merrier. So that's sort of, I guess, how it connects, just the enjoyment of learning about different kinds of people and being
mm-hmm.
with them.
Now, going back to your cookbook application,
mm-hmm.
I understand that not only is it divided into sections for the type of meals like Jewish classics, masters, kosher, glorious hits, and so on, it also has salads, soups, chicken, vegetarian gourmet, lots of sides, desserts, so on, and Shabbat and holidays, which are divided by the season of the year. How many recipes are there in this application?
There are about 300. I know that because when I was asked to do it, I was told I needed 300 in order to create the app. And there are 300. I haven't counted it lately, and actually I have many more. The app needs an update, so as I keep
mm-hmm.
doing more things, I have a whole file on my computer with updates as I try to replace margarine with oil in many cases, and I try to come up with more things that don't use nuts. My grandson is allergic to nuts, so I have a whole
mm-hmm.
bunch of things where I do nut substitution. I use pepitas, or I use sunflower seeds, sunflower butter, all that kind of thing. So there's a lot. And the Shabbos recipes are organized according to the season of the year, what you would make in the winter when Shabbos is early. And, you know, something would have to be more like a boeuf bourguignon, a coq au vin, something like that, just to think about Julia once again.
Right.
While in the spring when Shabbos is late, you can make a rack of lamb or a chicken cutlet or something that you want to eat closer to when it comes out of the oven. Yeah, and you don't want it sitting around. So that's how I organize the menus, besides the seasonal vegetables, and of course, but it's...
What are some of your favorite recipes?
They sort of fall into two categories. They fall into my emotionally favorite recipes, which came from my grandmother, who died when I was 6 years old. It's her stuffed cabbage, her tzimis, her noodle pudding that we have for breakfast. And then I have my more gourmet, non-traditional recipes, my fried chicken that I learned from my husband's family housekeeper. She was a wonderful woman from the South and taught me to make Southern fried chicken and corn pudding and a moussaka, a chicken pot pie, a tac tatin. I like to cover many different kinds of cuisines, and no one ever knows what they're going to get when they come to my table. It's always a surprise, a mixture.
Now, do you have any recipes that people have personally told you that they have become their favorites? I'm not talking about Gloria's favorites, but favorites of some of the people that you know, some of the people that you met.
Oh, absolutely. The fried chicken for sure, the chicken pot pie. I make fried olives as an hors d'oeuvre. It's a major favorite. I just recently posted all these hors d'oeuvres online. Mushroom ears that can also be done with pesto or with tapenade, a very big favorite. I make flanken or short ribs with an orange hoisin sauce, a duck and orange sauce or with mixed berries. Definitely favorites. And people come back, and I find that the company, they like to have the same things each time they come because they are their favorites.
And we have a caller on the line.
Really?
Caller, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
My name's Jeannie.
Yes.
And I'm calling from Toronto.
Oh. Okay. Do you have any questions or comments?
I do. First of all, I have come to Gloria through Noreen Gillett.
Hi, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you for calling.
So I've been following. My pleasure. And I'm very happy for your success.
Thank you.
And I am following you and the recipes that you have put on your kosher scene or whatever the name of the kosher cookbook. And I have been hoping that while there are some of the recipes that I can have access to from your Facebook or from the Kosher Cookbook blog, I was hoping and wondering when the app might be available on the Android. I have an HTC 4G. And I
am hoping and wondering the same thing, Jeannie.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when the company Absolute Media that published published the app, when they're able to get it ready for Android. It's definitely something that's being talked about, and they want to have it ready for many different applications. So it's in the works. I just can't give you a time frame. But I'm very happy that you'd like it, and I hope you're enjoying the blog and the Kosher Cookbook page.
Absolutely, and I do appreciate so much that when I do contact you on Facebook, you, if not immediately, very soon after, get back to me, and I really appreciate that.
Well,
so
thank you.
It's nice to have access to a maven.
thank you. I really appreciate it. I really do. Thank you. That's so kind.
And keep on going and sharing. And I'm hopeful that all of these recipes and things I'll be able to cook for my grandchildren. In Kanainohora, I'm going to have three. I have two right now, and I want them to feel that their safta or grandmother is like the best cook, and all I can do is say, you know what, thanks to you, Noreen Gillis, and all the people who are generous enough to share.
Oh, well, thank you. And Noreen is just one of my favorite people. She is just terrific.
Noreen is actually everybody's favorite.
Right. Yes.
I had her on my show, and she was incredible.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. I did a cooking class with her in Toronto. And,
before
Passover? When I first started to learn to cook, it was her cookbook that I took with me to Israel and learned the food processor book, and I have it with me today, and I took it with me when we had the cooking class. She autographed a lot of books, but having said that, I know she holds you in high esteem, Gloria, and I'm just looking forward to cooking up a lot of the recipes that you have put on, because they look wonderful. I love the photographs as well, and the steps. And as I said, again, your generosity for having, shared with all the people to have just delicious and family-centered meals.
Thank you. That is actually the center of my life, is my family. They come every Friday night and every Saturday, and the grandchildren and my parents. So there are four generations at my table, and it's quite special. I'm very lucky.
Very lucky. And you know what the wonderful thing is? They're always going to remember, Mom made this, Grandma made that, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, always
right.
The favorite. And
food memory is very powerful.
You know what? It's heartfelt. You know what? It's not just food memory. It's when it's made with love. And I believe that you do that.
Thank you. Thank you. That means
absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. Love is the main ingredient in any cooking. Otherwise,
absolutely.
The taste does not quite make it.
Right.
So isn't it funny when they say, what is it that I made the exact recipe, but it doesn't come out the same? And what's the secret ingredient?
Right.
Love.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, Jeannie.
So
that's so kind of you.
Thank you. All the best. And
thank
we'll
you for calling us, Jeannie.
Thank you for having me. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay.
Now, do you do your own styling, or do you have a food stylist?
On the app, actually, there wasn't a food stylist. There was a professional photographer, but all the pictures that are on Facebook that you see, I take myself with my trusty little iPhone. And I'm amazed myself sometimes that the pictures turn out as well as they do, because I'm definitely not a photographer. But
what's the name of the photographer on the app?
Boa Luli.
And he's local?
He's local, yes. Yes, he's a young man, and actually who had some experience with food photography before. He was a friend of my son's. My son's company actually produced the app. Yes, we spent many – actually, it's an interesting story. When we started photographing, we did about 15 or so recipes at a time. There are about 150 pictures on the app. We couldn't get to do all 300 before it was launched.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did about 15 at a time. And so I'd have all this food. And I said to Jonathan, my son, I said, what are we going to do? We have all this food, and I'm not just going to throw it out. So we had a series of photographing dinner parties where literally we would call people who called people who called people. And as long as they knew someone, we had 15, 20 people, per photography
session. So how come you didn't call me?
I'm sorry. Next time. And it was so much fun. I mean, I'd meet them at the door, in my pants, my T-shirt, and my towel out of my waist. And I'd say, here are the plates, set the table. And they sort of ate the food as we finished photographing. So it wasn't always in order, but order of a normal meal. But it was
right.
A lot of fun. I didn't know half the people at the table, but they all knew someone else. It was really, it was a fun time. We all had a good time.
Well, on the Absolute website, they have a video. And it looks like it was a lot of fun.
It was. It was. I wasn't prepared exactly. I didn't know there was going to be a video, but all of a sudden there was, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of bloggers and a lot of, you know, a lot of people in the food industry and the hospitality industry, and it was a lot of fun. It was. I had actually, to get ready to doing a lot of these recipes, before the photography part, just the testing of the recipe part, I had a series of tasting parties where I would invite, again, 15, 20 people and make, you know, little tiny, like, almost like tapas. Each one would get two little bowls of soup and just like mini portions of a million different things. And then I passed out sheets of paper where I had, you know, a list of questions, you know, love this, hate this, not my thing, too spicy, too whatever. And people anonymously would just check off, you know, how they felt about the different foods, just to have a, it was fun. It was interesting to see how different people reacted, you know, to different kinds of recipes. So a lot of people don't like cold soup. A lot of people don't like cold meat. So, you know, it's interesting how, and I make my own decisions at the end if I think it's good or not, but it was always, it's always interesting to get input from others.
Okay, now, I am sure that throughout the time that you were collecting the recipes that you would include, so the time that you were testing them, and during the tastings, during the research in general, there must have been some funny anecdotes here or there. Care to tell us a couple of them?
Well, let's see. I was making a ceviche for one of these testings, and when you're having so many people, my philosophy is always to do things in advance. And I'm afraid I added the lime juice to the fish a bit too far in advance, so that when I got ready to serve it, it had completely destroyed the fiber of the fish. Completely.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. Yes. So they didn't have that. That was thrown out, you know, all kinds of, I mean, that was actually one of the worst things that happened. I tell you, the funniest things that happen really with my grandchildren when they turn on the, you know, when they're helping me cook and they say, can they turn on the KitchenAid, and they don't quite get it to slow. They take that little slide, you know, the on switch, and they turn it on high, and, you know, three cups of flour go covering everybody. They have a good time with it. They have a good time with it. Or watching them eat artichokes. I mean, that's like an adorable thing to see, a three-year-old eat an artichoke. You know, and they learn very early in my house.
You must be a magician, because when my kids were 3 years old to suggest an artichoke, the artichoke would have ended up everywhere in the room except in their mouth.
Really? No, they love it. We've taught generations of children since my children were small, and my daughter's married 10 years now already, generations of children how to eat artichokes. It becomes,
wow.
And I find that when we sit at the table, if I just sort of assume that nobody knows how to eat an artichoke, because there's always someone that doesn't know, even a grown-up, and I just sort of make an announcement to everybody, you know, this is how we do it. Sort of explaining to people who aren't religious or even who aren't Jewish who are at your Shabbat table,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what we do. This is, first we're going to make Kiddush, and then we're going to have Netilat Yadayim, we're going to wash, and no, you don't have to, but, you know, this is what's happening here, and then we're going to eat, and then we're going to, you know, and just sort of make it very general. We give an overview, and people sort of relax, because we usually have a very mixed crowd when we have company, and not everyone always knows what's going to happen.
No, that's good. That's good. It's part of Kiruv.
Yes, they feel more comfortable if there are no surprises.
Right, of course.
Right. You know, well, I tell everybody, you know, what the food is, and then I tell them that, you know, no one has to try anything they don't want to. But my children eat this, you know. So most people are brave.
What's next for Gloria Cobrin?
This is a good question. I actually... I met with a TV producer a week or two ago. who was actually recommended by somebody else. I mean, how these things happen. So she's looking into various ideas. I spent several hours with her. I can't even imagine myself doing anything like that, but it's being thought about. I would love mm-hmm. the app, and I love the app as a piece of technology, and I love taking it with me.
Will it ever be
into
published
a store.
As a book?
Excuse me, I would love it as a book. I mean, the truth is the app is a great, great tool, but it's like another tool in your toolbox. You can't carry around...
Right.
Well, I would say Mastering the Art of French Cooking is an app now, too. But you can't carry around your cookbooks. You can carry around an app. And if I'm standing in Fairway and I've forgotten what to
yes,
order,
but the problem
the
is that
me.
Not everybody has an iPhone, not everybody has an iPod. What about the rest of us?
Right, exactly. So
are we being
hoping...
discriminated?
hopefully they will be on Android soon, and I would love it to be a book because to me there is really nothing better than a hand-stained, you know, food-stained book. And you sort
right.
of the book opens to with the recipe you love the most, and it's a very emotional connection you have towards those things. It's not quite as emotional with a piece of technology, but it's a very, very useful tool, and I'm thrilled. I mean, it's a very exciting thing to have the app, and people from all over the country, all over the world, actually write to me, which is amazing. I guess that's what technology does. People in Africa, in Indonesia, in mm-hmm. in Lebanon, in Israel, and everywhere. I mean, just and all over Europe. I mean, it's really quite incredible. I'm always very gratified and surprised what a far reach it has.
Now you said that. You have quite a few more recipes. Is that going to be part of a second app, or are you just going to expand this one?
Well, the app, I'm not sure. I would like this app to be revamped because there are a lot of things that, you know, as the years go on and we learn more, a lot of the margarine that I've used I can replace with oil
mm-hmm.
to make it healthier. Some of the
right.
techniques I can make simpler. So I'm not sure if it's going to be totally revamped or we're just going to add more recipes. I have more vegetarian recipes, more nut-free recipes. I keep adding them, and because I cook
now,
pretty constantly.
Talking for a second about vegetarian recipes, I happen to be a carnivore to the core.
Right.
Or as my wife says, a hardcore carnivore.
Got it. My son-in-law as well.
Now, I love salads, but I cannot imagine a gourmet vegetarian dish other than salads. Is there such a thing as gourmet vegetarian dishes? And when I ask that, I ask that from the point of view of a carnivore, not from the point of view of a vegetarian.
Yes, I believe there are, and actually there is a wonderful new cookbook out called Herbivoracious by Michael Natkin. He's from Seattle, and he created a beautiful book. I went to the book signing that's all vegetarian, that makes no attempt to actually replace the meat, but just creates really unusual vegetarian dishes using all kinds of vegetables and fruits and different seasonings from different cuisines. It's really quite beautiful, and the food is very satisfying. I also would not be happy eating a vegetarian diet alone. My daughter became vegetarian at 18 after eating for
wow.
years roast beef bones. She became hardcore. Well, she eats eggs and she eats cheese, and she's not vegan. She's vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't cook. She doesn't cook any meat or fish at all. So I try to. I'm not that knowledgeable about seitan and all these other, you know, different kinds of meat
mm-hmm.
substitutes, but I do a lot with tofu. I press it and I drain it and fry it, and then try to use somewhat the same sauces that I'm using on the tofu so that she gets the flavor of it. The problem is, of course, that if it's very spicy, the tofu doesn't dispel the spice as much as the meat gravy and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do my best. I'm not an expert vegetarian cook, but I have many vegetarian many ways of doing vegetarian food that is good. So I do a chicken pot pie, I do a vegetarian pot pie for her, you know, that kind of thing. And many people are, you know, are perfectly happy with it. But I'm with
I
you.
Remember
I prefer...
years ago when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, my wife once decided to surprise me by using some tofu SVP, structured vegetable protein.
Uh-huh.
It looked like meat. Certainly did not taste like meat.
No, it does not.
And I made sure she never would ever serve me that again.
Right, right, right.
Recently, I had a chance. Right. Now, we're talking in the 70s. Recently, I had a chance to taste it again in a salad, and it was incredible.
Uh-huh.
They really learned how to do it. They really learned the technology.
Yes. Yes, it's amazing. And the non-dairy non-dairy cheese, for those who either are vegan or who want to have cheese with meat, some of it is quite amazing. I mean, it can't be eaten as cheese, in my
right.
opinion, but it can
but
be...
But when you mix it with meat, it's not
right,
as
it can
bad.
Ooze. If you put it in the middle
right.
of a hamburger, it will ooze, and you don't really taste
right.
it, but you get the ooze. So it's more
right.
of a symbolic.
So it's psychological. Right.
It's psychological.
Right.
Exactly. I wasn't kosher before I got married, so you know, I have a great deal of cheeseburgers in my past. So when
mm-hmm.
I was married,
okay.
Excuse me?
Okay, I hear.
No, when I got married and I, you know, told my husband I would, I agreed to become kosher, that was one of the things that encouraged me to cook even more. There was a lot of food that I was missing, and I wanted to be able to enjoy that quality food, which certainly at that time, in 1971, was not as available as it is now. So now there's
now,
much...
What trends in food do you see, and specifically, what trends do you see in the kosher world? Anything... that's interesting, that's emerging, in your opinion?
I think the kosher world is very into Thai food, and that's not a cuisine that I cook, but I think they
okay.
seem to be, I don't mean they, but I think the kosher world seems to enjoy Thai food, and there seems to be a huge, the entire world now is very much into gluten-free.
Right.
I think some people because they really do need gluten-free and some people because it's sort of the thing of the moment to be
right,
gluten-free.
Right.
I don't really get involved with that either. I sort of stick to my own left. And I find I can't do everything and I try to work on what I do and make that as good as I can. Some people
okay.
may be able to do everything. I can't.
Most people can't do everything successfully.
Right.
They can
so I try to limit.
But not successfully. Right.
Right. Right. So I try to limit my
efforts. We're just
about
out of time. I want to thank you. You were a superb guest, and we have
thank
to do
you.
This again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Chaim.
Thank you very much for being our guest. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to our show. And please tune us in again next Wednesday at 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you very much, and good night, one and all.